Hi guys, it's Will from TN Bull. And before we start this podcast, I just want to make a massive shout out to BK Accountants. They're an easy way to complete your tax returns. So let me explain, okay? They offer accountancy services suitable for absolutely everybody. They're a proactive and friendly service. They're open 24/7. And most importantly, they guarantee to be 25% cheaper than your current accountant or anybody else who is doing your accounts. Don't take mine and Jay's word for it, however. You can find them at www.bkaccountants.org.uk. Or if you want to send an inquiry off, you can email accounts@bkaccountants.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and let's get into the podcast.
Welcome back, guys, to TN Bull. It's your host today, Jay, with co-host Gavlar and Startman Will. How are you, Gav? You well?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm great. I don't actually care about Will no more. He will no longer be part of the podcast very soon. As you were saying before, they call it gross misconduct, I believe.
gross misconduct, Jesus.
I mean, to be honest, I've reported him to Facebook already, Gavler. He's got a horror. He's just wearing crap all over his top. I believe they call it an Arsenal top. I'm not salty. You're salty. I guess I ask, how are you, Will? You piece of shit. You well?
I am phenomenal, thanks, Jay. It's been a good day for us. Sorry, no. You know, happy Valentine's Day, first and foremost. You know, we got a very good present this weekend. Feels good to pick up 3 points. How have you been recently with the points?
Well, I got screwed, but I didn't get any roses from it.
Ooh, did you want to buy dinner first?
No, didn't. Just gave me my taxi fare and told me to go home and call my mum. So I gave James a little call. Didn't even pick up. He just started shouting at Bale. Gav, can I just point out as well, right? We lost again, got knocked out of the FA Cup. And great, absolutely great response. Instead of taking responsibility for everything regarding the Everton loss, he blames Bale.
Yeah, I've seen a lot lately. I know Bale sort of posts on Instagram. It's quite easy. It's quite easy to blame one player and just go, you know, he's out injured, and then he's posting on Instagram that he's training. I mean, for me, Mourinho's doing that sort of what he does, that deflection from himself and his own sort of managerial discrepancies. I heard that Sunday he'd said that he'd sort of felt like he wasn't feeling 100%. He had a bit of an injury. He wanted to go see the sports science guys, and then all of a sudden he's posting on Instagram that he's training, and I heard that was kind of the issue behind it, which I find quite laughable, to be honest with you. But you know, it's not great seeing as your marquee signing for the summer has got all this blame being pointed at him, especially when it's out in the open. And I think that sort of stuff you've got to try and leave behind closed doors.
I think Mourinho's done a great job, Gav, for keeping it. You know, it's not Marine. We all knew we were going to come out anyway, sooner or later. I suspected it was what it was, to be honest. Look at Will, just, you know, laughing to himself.
Not got these problems at Arsenal, eh, Will?
No, we've got worse problems. But it just makes it a little bit better that Tottenham are going through the same the same period that we have been. So,
oh, look at us. We beat a newly promoted team. We're going to win the league. Oh, we're the unbeaten. Oh, invincibles.
Jay. We will touch on Spurs. And I'm sure it will take up the full hour. But before we do, is there anything else you want to talk about before I can unload? Or
right. No. On a serious note, guys, I hope everyone's well. Again, we're very grateful for our sponsors. Big shout out to, obviously, BK Accountant Limited. Well, obviously, loving your sponsorship there. we're just very grateful for what's obviously been happening. We're very privileged to do our little podcast for us. We've got many other things coming out, including this week at last. Drum roll, Will.
Yeah. So tomorrow, we've got a very special guest coming on. I won't give too much away, but we are going to be delving into all things paranormal. It's a very, very big hobby of mine to research things like this, to get some knowledge on it. So I'm going to be speaking to a guy who knows more than most about this whole subject and topic. And we're also going to be chatting with one of Jay's friends about something that isn't sport related. Jay, do you want to explain a bit more?
Yep, it's just regarding, currently, we've got a couple of guests coming on this week. It's regarding the COVID pandemic, government, 0-hour contracts, basically a lot of the things that you guys want us to talk about as well. It's not football or sports related or wrestling related. It's just that everyone can get their teeth grinded in, you know, how the economy's doing, what your favourite soap is, anything that you feel deemable, you know. It's getting very exciting. And at last, we will finally be launching on YouTube this week, guys.
Yes. Very excited.
Very happy. What do you reckon to that, Gavlo? We're eventually on YouTube.
No, that's brilliant, mate. It's nice to see the pod taking some big steps. So I think that's fantastic, mate. You know, any sort of growth you can get and any sort of viewership you can get on different platforms is fantastic. So it's great to see the pod moving forward.
Fantastic, right? So before we go really, really deep into Gav and myself and Will regarding the platform so far, and the topics we'll be discussing today will be this season compared to last season with teams to teams. But first, I'm actually going to ask Mr. Will for some stats, funny enough.
Yeah. Jay briefed me on this and said, yeah, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what we're going to be talking about in comparison to last season. This season's been a bit of a strange one, as we all know. It's been weird to say, you know, there's been no fans involved. There's been a few new rule changes. I think it's affected, you know, there's been some big injuries as well. A lot of stricken teams. And it seems like anybody can be anybody this season apart from City. So here's some stats from this season. So a bit of an amazing stat is this season so far actually has the highest goals per game ratio since the 1930s. I found that quite incredible. It just goes to show. I mean, my personal analysis on that stat there is that without fans, players aren't pressured to make decisions that fans want them to, if that makes sense. You know, they've got a bit more freedom. It's like every game is a kind of friendly because there's nobody there to see it. So I believe that's why there's been a lot more goals this season, if I'm honest. Leicester City, first Premier League team to score 3 penalties in one game this year. Bit of random knowledge for you.
I'm loving them.
Yeah, another one for you. Man United are actually bottom of the home table this season. So if it was just based on home games, Man United would be bottom of the table. Fulham, believe it or not, are averaging the 4th highest possession stats in the division at the moment. That's Fulham, 4th highest on possession. And then just the last couple, just some crazy stuff, really. Liverpool are the first reigning champions to concede 7 goals on the season after. Obviously, they lost to Villa 7-2. It was a bit of a shock to everybody at the beginning, but they're the first champions to have actually won the league, and then the next season conceded 7 goals in one game. And then, you know, it's not a power shift, but on the other side of Liverpool, Everton won their first 7 games for the first time in 126 years. So yeah, it's a funny season. There's some funny mental stats for you. Is there anything you guys want to add?
I absolutely love them stats, Gab. What do you think?
Yeah, no. I think quite a lot of them are just mind-blowing. I think your first point, your first stat in regards to team scoring more goals you know, I think you bang on the money there. I think without the fans, a lot of players and a lot of teams don't feel as pressured to, like you say, make the decisions that you normally make, the simple pass. You know, a lot of players are probably taking on players that they wouldn't normally, or just trying things that they wouldn't normally try. And it's a really open season, you know. No home game is essentially a home game, you know. A lot of the grounds are now technically neutral grounds because, yeah, you're travelling, but there's no fans there. You've not got the pressure, you know. You've not got, you know, you're not looking down on the cop thinking, oh God, you know, in front of all these Liverpool fans. You know, there's not that sort of sense.
Yeah, I think that's 100% affected Liverpool this season.
Yeah, I think the defensive issues have really affected them big time, you know, as opposed to anything else. But, you know, the fans alone, you know, you've not got that pressure of thinking, right, I'm in front of, you know, 50,000-60,000 home fans here as an away team, you know. So, you know, amazing stats were amazing stats. Pop them out. God,
well, it's just saying that, obviously, about you were talking about Liverpool and, you know, without the fans and that. I think that speaks volumes for really how good a ground Old Trafford is. Because if you think about it, you know, United are bottom on the home table. And if you tie that into the stat of, you know, the goals and, you know, are the fans not being there making a difference? I think absolutely. I think if you think back, you know, the past 20 years, well, take, you know, don't count from when United started to sort of decline. But Old Trafford was an absolute fortress. You know, it was pretty much unheard of. Under the Fergie days, it was pretty much unheard of going to Old Trafford and getting any form of result. You know, you usually went there and you got dusted and you left. And I think that it does go to show that Old Trafford is the biggest ground in the Premier League to date. And those, you know, it's a noisy place. I've been to Old Trafford. I don't know if you guys have been, but it is noisy. Those Mancunians really know how to rile up the ground. And I do think that plays an effect on Man United and the way they play. I think if you've got a good set of fans behind you, you'll do exceedingly well. And I think that's why Man United struggled this season in areas, and they've got that start. And I honestly believe that's why Liverpool's home form's dipped and why they're not doing as well this season. Because, you know, I know people say Anfield being loud is a myth, but it isn't. You know, it does work. You only need to watch a Champions League game at Anfield, and it really does raise the hairs in your arms. So,
well, it's like, you know, you hear the chant, you know, you'll never walk alone. The first thing you hear when you walk into the ground,
yeah.
And it's like you say. I mean, you know, sort of going away from home football, like Dortmund, you know, that yellow wall. I mean, fans are incredible. You know, no end. You know, really amp up. You know, the players. It's kind of like, you know, you're in that tunnel and your mind starts going, right, I'm at home, I'm playing in front, you know, 60,000-70,000 home fans here. You know, I'll take in this sort of analogy, like, you've got a boxer, take away the trash talk, that pressure, that, you know, that sort of mind games, that mental mind game has gone. So, you know, you're kind of on an even keel, you know, someone might be slightly better than the other, you know, edge it a little bit, but without them mind games and without someone really, you know, playing on you with the words and what they're saying, you know, it takes that mental edge away. And I think that's what it's kind of done in regards to your home games, is that mental edge is now gone. You're not playing in front of that crowd, you know, so you're not worrying as much. So, you know, I think that takes away from home form a little bit this season.
Now, before we get too distracted, because we will be going back to Liverpool a lot as well, what we're going to do is, instead of comparing it to this time last season, I'm going to do it from the back end of last season, because that's what I've got in front of me.
Yeah.
So how teams finish and how they are placed now. So obviously you've got Norwich at the bottom. So that's how that finished. However, currently at the bottom is Sheffield United. Now obviously we've got a host, Fletch, on here, Fletchington. He was a massive Sheffield U fan, and he was saying, guys, that if Sheffield you get out of this will be a bigger miracle than Leicester winning the title. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, sorry, well, you go.
Yeah, no, cheers, Gav, thank you. I'm not going to lie, I've got a very, very big soft spot for Sheffield United. If, you know, I don't know why, but I live very close to Sheffield. And they were sort of my go-to team if I wanted to go and watch some live football, other than Matlock Town. But yeah, on my predictor that I did when I was at work, I had Sheffield United to actually stay up. And it's really strange, this, because literally, since I've done that predictor, Sheffield United haven't really put a foot wrong. And I do personally believe that if Chris Wilder gets them out of this, it could... I wouldn't say it's a bigger miracle than Leicester winning the league, because, you know, there are great escape stories from, you know, previous Premier League years and things like that. None probably as big as what this would be, but I just think that Leicester winning the league is a once-in-a-lifetime phenom. It's just unheard of. Whereas, you know, if you look at where Sheffield United were at the turn of the new year, you know, they really, I don't think they've won a game by that point. But the guys ahead of them also weren't performing that well either. So the gulf in and the gap in between them and safety isn't as big as what I've seen in previous years. But that being said, it will be a bloody miracle if they do stay in the Premier League, and I really hope it happens.
Do you think Wilder should keep his job if they go down?
Oh, 100%. You know, he's brought them up. He got them, you know, he got them sort of, what was it, fifth, sixth last season, I think it was, something like that. And he did an incredible job. You know, they were there at the top end of the table most of the season, which is fantastic for a team that has just come up. And you always get that sort of team, you know. You've got the two that sort of stay in the relegation battle, you know, don't do too well. You've got that one that sort of surprises you. You know, and they really surprised, and they've not particularly been bad this season. You know, they've been losing games sort of 1-2-0, but I do think
they haven't been battered, have they?
Yeah, no, they haven't exactly been absolutely battered. You know, they haven't really struggled. You know, and I think defensively they are sound, but I do think they've kind of built a bit of a championship team, in the sense where the transfers they made, not a lot of them really Premier League quality. They were all sort of championship level players. You know, you look at Brewster,
Arsenal level quality.
Very sort of young lads. A lot of them have had sort of championship level experience. You look at Bogle, Lowe, Brewster, who, you know, did all right at Swansea. You know, I think they'll go down. The Keith Wilder, they'll come straight back up. They'll bounce right back. They've got a team that's ready made for the championship. But Premier League wise, I just think it's another level for them this season. You know, and it kind of shows at the turn of year they hadn't won a game. I think they're only on sort of 5 points, and they've done well. I mean, the win at West Brom was huge, huge for them, to get them 3 points. You know, close that gap. But I don't think there's any way back for them. I can't see them closing that gap now at this stage of the season, to be honest with you.
What do you think they do need to close this gap, or do you think it is too far gone?
No, it's just too far gone. I mean, say you've got 14 games now left. I think the teams around them, I think Fulham have just won against Everton, I believe, which is, you know, again, that's sort of furthering the gap.
Fulham actually won?
I think they have. When I last checked, it was 2-0, and that was about 75 minutes in. So, I mean, that's a big, big win for Fulham. Because they really needed that, but I think the gap's just sort of too far to have to win them 4 games, you know, get them 12 points, and have everyone else lose around you is a lot to ask for, and I think there's too much quality at the minute. You know, in regards to the Prem, there's far too much quality. I don't see anyone that really Sheffield United can beat, bar, you know. I mean, they beat West Brom, potentially, you know, sort of Southampton with their Baron runner form at the minute.
They beat Man United as well.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I think they were quite lucky in regards to some of the VAR decisions there. But again, I mean, that's what happened. You know, sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need that bit of luck. But no, I just can't see them doing it. I think they'll bounce back, but I think, you know, the season's done.
I don't think they will. I don't. I think the Championship is such a hard league to get out of. It's not automatically you will bounce back anymore. Don't you think that's right, Will? I mean, if you go down, it's not such a certainty, even if you keep that squad together, that you'll stay up.
I mean, look at Huddersfield this season, Sunderland in previous years, Portsmouth, you know, these are teams who dropped and dropped. Huddersfield didn't. And I know they're still in the Championship. Wigan, Athletic. Yeah, the Championship.
Oh, funny enough, you say that, but Huddersfield have literally got the same story as Chef U when you think about it. Yes, I know, before everyone starts commenting on us, I do understand that it's a different situation, but they, in the first season, was in a high position, playing exactly exciting football. I know there was more attacking Huddersfield, but I feel it kind of go the same way. If when they go down, that they'll be looking mid-lower if they go down to the Championship. I'd have to disagree with Gav.
I think you are right. The Championship is the hardest league to get out of. But if you look at...
I think in the world.
Yeah, I think if you look this season, you've always got a team that will go down and bounce right back up. And I think, you look at the Championship at the minute, Norwich are right up there.
They infuriate me. I'm sorry, they really do.
you like some Norwich and Watford. Bournemouth, who went down, you know, they've been in and around the playoffs constantly. They have dropped off a bit. But, obviously that's a change in management. I think they've had that barren run of form and now they'll get a new manager in. I think that'll sort of, it's that new manager syndrome where you get players wanting to play and wanting to prove themselves to a manager. So I think if you get that new manager in, they'll probably bounce back up a little bit more. So all three of them are in and around the playoffs. I think the teams that have gone down before, you like to Wigan, Bolton, Portsmouth, all had sort of money issues, and that's where they dropped and dropped and dropped because you couldn't get that level of player. And then obviously you hit administration, you don't play pay your wages like Derby this last couple of months. I think that's where you sort of start to see teams go down and down the leagues. I think if they use their payments well, get the right players off the books and keep the right players on, you're always likely to sort of bounce back. Like, you know, sort of West Brom, we've been sort of a yo-yo team for a few years. You're always likely to sort of jump back up.
Well, what we'll do is we'll try to keep... there's a very in-depth, guys, Chef U, analysis, because we've got 19 more to do with these. right, so the next one is... Obviously, Watford got relegated as well. As Gavlov's just said, everything's getting there, getting back. But in comparison, currently, they've got West Brom. Now, guys, West Brom, Big Sam, will he keep his 100% record of staying up? Or will he still keep up by getting sacked before? Or will he take him down? And if he does take him down, will he stay up? Will?
I think he'll be sacked.
Do you know what? I 100% agree. I believe Sack will get resigned so he can keep his little medal of, he does stuff like that though, doesn't he? I'm telling you.
I mean, the thing is with Big Sam, obviously he has got that 100% success record of never getting a team relegated and keeping them up. To be honest with you, I think he's a bit skint, needed a bit of a payday. I think that's why he took the West Brom job. I don't know. West Brom are just woeful, absolutely woeful. I mean, I'm an Arsenal fan, as you know, and we turned up to the Hawthorns and we made them look like a League Two side. And at the rate we've been playing this season, if you've let us play that well against you, especially this season of all seasons, then You don't deserve to be in the Premier League, because everybody seems to be getting results against us this season. So, yeah.
Absolutely, brother. So, West Brom, do you think they'll go down then?
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're done for me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100% agree with yourself and Will. Looking at the table, I think they're sort of 12, 13 points adrift as well. But Newcastle have a game in hand against them, so if you say they win that game, it's 15. I think they're gone. I think for me, Pereira, who's been a bit of a decent player for them, you know, really well in the Championship, he's not quite hit the heights, but again, Premier League's a different level. He's still done all right for them. I think he'll potentially go. I think they'd struggle to come back up next season, to be honest with you.
Well, I was about to ask you, Gav.
No, sure, go.
I was about to say, I'll come back to you as well, Will, because we won't spend too much on West Brom. I don't think anyone necessarily cares. without sounding harsh, it's Big Sam, you reap what you get, don't you? However, who do you think their star man is? Who do you think will get to
I do think it's Breyer. I think he's one of these tricky little player. On his day, he's one of them that can change the game for you. I don't really think West Brom have got anyone else, if I'm honest, apart from Dean Garner, but he's been injured most of the season, which is unfortunate for him.
Excuse me. West Brom do have another good player.
Oh, Maitland Niles, of course. Yeah.
Thank
of course,
you very much, Gav.
Who could forget about him?
Sorry, the phone cracked up then.
I think West Brom star man is Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
Is there any bias there at all, Will? Any bias?
Oh, absolutely not, Gav. No, you know me. I'm not biased.
Right, so without that ridiculous statement... this podcast. Guys, we need to keep it more. You know, people aren't going to believe it if you blatantly lie to them. You know, we want our viewers to come back. You can't be saying ridiculous statements like that. You just can't, friend. On another subject, Fulham. Now, let me just tell you, they're on 31. Today, stats. Let me just double check that. I don't think I read that right. 2-0 against Everton. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about Everton after. Okay.
Yeah.
But the Premier League, it's just, I think we've talked about this before, didn't we, guys? And we said, who do you think is going to finish in the bottom three? And I think we all said at the time as well, if I'm right, that how it is now. Now, Fulham have got 18 points. Sorry, not 31. What am I on about? We've got 18 points. Okay. Now, just above them is Newcastle. On 25. Now that is a hell of a gap. 7 points. Can they close it?
No, I think again. I'm quite surprised. I'm quite, you know, surprised to beat Everton today, to be honest with you. That would have been a bit of a shock one.
Well, they've had 3 wins all season. 3 wins and 9 draws. It's not good, is it?
It's just.
Hello?
Wait. It's just. I don't know. I mean. Fulham. I don't like Scott Parker, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like him as a player. And that's not because of who he played for before I get called a bias. Didn't really like him as a player. Found him a bit arrogant, if that makes sense.
Couldn't disagree with you more. We'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know. Fulham, to me, I mean, they've had. I think personally, what annoys me about Fulham is when they came up a couple of seasons ago, for the first time, and they spent something daft like nearly £200 million. Can you remember? It was the year they had Andre Schürrle and they signed Jean-Michel Seri. You know, they've got a good squad behind them. And they were appalling. They were...
I think they spent a lot this season as well, you
they
know.
They have. I mean, they've got Ruben Loftus-Cheek on loan. Oh. You know, it's... Luckman. Yeah, this is it. And I don't know. They just... What winds me up more than anything are teams that constantly yo-yo between the Championship and the Premiership. It is infuriating. I like to see teams come up that haven't had a crack in a while. You know, like when Bournemouth first came up, that was amazing. Brighton. Huddersfield, you know, it was amazing when they came up. And I like to see teams who've not had a crack at the whip in a while because...
Palace,
exactly.
Palace.
When they came up. And, you know, it's just Fulham are one of them. Norwich are another one. Watford are another one. And I know that Watford have been okay in the past few seasons, apart from last season when they got relegated. But I don't know. I'll be glad to see the back of Fulham, but I know that they'll be replaced by Norwich, and that just winds me up. So,
can I just point, Gav? Have you heard this?
Yeah, it's all small teams. Recycling the same old teams in the Premiership and Championship, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I get your point. I think Fulham will go down. I don't think again. I think different to the other two teams. I think different to Sheffield United and West Brom. They've got, you know, a couple of Premier League quality players in there. I think Loftus-Cheek has had an unfair crack at the whip at Chelsea. You know, I think he was a pretty good player.
Yeah, 100%.
And Chelsea, unfortunately, just don't really promote youth apart from last season under Frank. So I think
you're going backwards as well, Gab.
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm sure we'll delve into that shortly. But you know, for me, Loftus-Cheek, you know, he can go to sort of a mid-table Premier League team and do fairly well. You know, I think some of the plays and some of the passing that he's played for Fulham this season, if they've got a really good target man on the end of them, maybe some of them go in. I think he's been unlucky with a few of his shots. So I think he'll go somewhere next season. I don't think there's any point in staying at Chelsea. He needs to crack on with his career a bit.
What about Mitrovic? What about Mitrovic? Talking about target man, I think he's fantastic. What other people don't really rate him? What do you think about that
guy? Again, he's one of these players that does really, really well in the Championship. You know, you can hit your sort of 20, 25 goals. You come up to the Prem and it's just too hard for, you know, you can't really take. You know, so, I mean, if they go about down and Mitrovic hits sort of 20 goals again, you know, again, brilliant, but you know, come to the Prem. Okay, yeah. No, I think he doesn't hit his heights.
Well, just before we continue, Will, do you know this story of the Michael Jackson statue?
Oh God, yeah. Which club is it again? Yeah,
is it Fulham? Now, just for American viewers, what happened is, what's his name? Who owned the club previously. Now, he sold the club, but what happened is Michael Jackson came to watch a game at Fulham. And when he watched a game at Fulham, Ahmed Al-Fayed, he decided to then build a gold statue outside the ground, outside Craven Cottage. And apparently, before games, all the fans would rub Michael Jackson for good luck. And I am not joking, this is true. And when the new owners obviously took over, they got rid of it. And Al-Fayed said that's the reason they got relegated. Well, what's your point on that?
I think some Premier League owners are a bit crackers. You got Vincent Tan when he was at Cardiff. changed them from blue to red because red's a lucky colour. That got some that got some real backlash.
What happened at Hull as well? I mean, I'm sure we could do a Hull episode.
The guy wanted to change the name to Hull Tigers, didn't he?
Yeah.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal.
Yeah, Hull changed the name. Oh God, Mike Astley's
Tony the Tiger running around
Newcastle just is a farce. Mike Astley, I don't understand him. Yeah.
We'll come on to that.
The whole Michael Jackson statue thing, it was one of them things that caught your eye on the BBC Sport page whilst you're browsing the internet at work. And I just sort of looked and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Like, you look at Arsenal, they've got Tony Adams, Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp statued. Man United have got a tribute to the Busby Babes. You know, all of them prestigious. I mean, Everton have got Dixie Dean outside Goodison Park. And then you've got Fulham, you've got Michael Jackson.
Obviously, they got rid of it. Like I was saying, with Hull, what they should have done is if they did get the Tiger the name, is get Tony the Tiger running around home going, grrr.
Should be sponsored by Kellogg's, really.
It's like, it writes itself, doesn't it? Right, so going on. So Fulham, yes or no? Because obviously we'll wrap this up.
No, yeah, going down. Staying up. Going down. Yeah, I think that's our three relegation picks right there.
Crazy. Yeah, obviously, I can't. They've invested so much money. I don't know how long an owner will sustain that for, you know. I couldn't really agree. It's a hard one. The only thing I can see is other teams just doing really bad. I say we're gonna segue on to Newcastle now because they are 17th. Now, Steve Bruce, the abuse he's been getting. You two, do you obviously agree with me with condemning the vile death threat that people?
Oh, God, yeah, it's got no place in football. You know, fans go way too far. This day and age, and I think social media doesn't help. I think obviously, and it's coming away from the death threats from Steve Bruce. But again, you know, you've got the death threats on Mike Dean in regards to the Souček challenge, which, you know, again, it was a bad decision, but it doesn't warrant death threats. You know, same with, you know, footballers' performances on the pitch. You know, they don't warrant racist abuse.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a place for it in football at all. You know, and I think as friends and family of people as well, you know, if you know someone that does that, I think you've got to tell them. You know, and I think you've got to say, look, there's no place for it. You know, and I agree now with social media accounts and social media companies like Facebook. I know they've banned a few accounts in regards to some abuse this week. I think it needs to happen more often. Well, I think, you know, any sort of sense of abuse, because it is in their terms and conditions as companies, you know, the well within the rights. And, you know, as soon as you sort of go over that line, I think companies have got to go, right, that's it, you know. Terms and conditions wise, you've completely gone overboard here. Your account's banned, and any other accounts that are linked to this account will be banned as well. You know, and I think you've really got to stamp it out now.
Well, there was talking about, we'll be discussing this as well, me and Will, with Alice, I believe, talking about if Facebook and social media should have ID, but that is for another occasion, obviously. But it is bad. But going back to Newcastle anyway, now, Will, can you give a quick description to our American, South African and Filipino viewers of the Newcastle situation, please, for people who don't know about it?
Just very quickly, Newcastle were hoping to be going through a transfer period where the club was going to be sold to the cousin of Sheikh Mansour, who owns Manchester City. It was looking like a great takeover bid. It never quite jumped to fruition, and as far as I feel sorry for Newcastle, they've got a poor owner who really doesn't like spending money. I think the recruitment's been poor, other than Callum Wilson, in my opinion. Miguel Almiron as well.
Saint Maximin
again. Yeah, great player. You know, but Newcastle, for me,
they could just do more. It's Newcastle United, isn't it?
You know, they are gargantuan in the footballing world. You know, it's a shame to see them like this. And I do believe personally that until Ashley leaves the club, they're just going to continue plodding along like they are.
Now, this is the first time I can do a comparison. Last season, they finished 13th. Was that under Brucey or was that under Rafa?
Pretty sure that was under Brucey, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah, Rafa left a couple of seasons ago,
I
think.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Now, do you think, Gav, that is because of Brucey's tactics, or do you think he was passed that down from Rafa?
I think Rafa was a bit more of a tactical manager, to be fair. I think he left for the right reasons. You know, I'm pretty sure Rafa stated that he didn't want to stay purely because, you know, there was no money coming in. You know, he couldn't make the transfers that he wanted to make, which is right. You know, as a manager, I'm sure it can be frustrating. Rafa's managed, you know, a lot of great teams. So why you'd sort of stay at Newcastle with no money? You know, I think...
My point being, Gav, sorry for interrupting, my point being is, do you think that Newcastle only finished 13th last season, didn't finish lower because of Rafa's influence, or do you think I'm being harsh and do you think Steve Bruce did that? Because personally, I think they only finished 13th because all the things that Rafa drilled in before he left, and it obviously followed the next season. Or do you think that, again, I'm being harsh and that's all Steve Bruce?
I think Steve Bruce is a decent manager. I don't think he's, you know, anything special, don't get me wrong. But he's an all right manager. I think he knows what he's doing. There's a reason he's still in the job, to be honest with you. I think Newcastle have been poor as of late, and the way they've set up for a couple of games, especially the Sheffield United one, I mean, I think most people looking at that, you know, you'd kind of go Sheffield United on a barren run of form, they won't win. The way Newcastle set up, really negative, five at the back. I looked at that and went, Sheffield United are winning this. And lo and behold, they did. I think the tactics haven't been right for a majority of this season. And losing Wilson at this stage of the season will be bad for them, you know, because I know he's out injured now. I think it's not all down to Brucey. I think Ashley doesn't really like spending money, like Will's already said. And I think, you know, a lot of the blame has got to go down on the owner and not the manager, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of places where they need to strengthen. That being said, obviously, like I say, a few of the games, I don't think Brucey has got the tactics right. But everyone will always remember the bad results. You know, no one remembers Brucey coming away with that 0-0 draw against Liverpool, and Newcastle looked like they should have won that game as well. So it's easy to sort of remember the bad results and forget the good ones. That being said, I think Newcastle will stay up this season. But I do think it's going to be tough for them. You know,
I think it's going to be closer than it has any right to be.
Basically, I think they need to buy next season if they want to do anything. And they've had, I mean, there must be something going on in the background, because they've had a lot of takeover bids, well, potential takeover bids, and all of them have fell through. So that screams to me that there's something going on in the background.
Well, do you think the FA are against Newcastle? Like that just said, you know, the takeovers. I mean, you look at it, and it's funny enough that it's the Saudi Arabian, obviously. It's so hard with the Qatar. I believe Qatar's with City, and Saudi Arabia would have been Newcastle. And obviously, I could have got that wrong way around, guys. I do apologise. However, it's crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy, because the reason is that Newcastle were still waiting for information 11 to 12 weeks later. They submitted everything for the takeover bid. However, they was doing a fit and proper test. I don't know how they've got any right to do this, since people, you should see what happened to Leeds prior, Bury, Bury even. There's a number of clubs that have gone under, but yeah, the multi-billionaire guy may not be eligible. I think it's crazy. Do you think the FA's against them or not?
Another Man City situation. Man City have dominated over the past few seasons. And I know that they've had, you know, breaks with Chelsea winning the league, Liverpool winning the league, but, you know, Man City are leaps and bounds ahead of anybody else, and I think that takes away a competitive edge from the Premier League. The Premier League was classed as the best league in the world because of the openness, and, you know, I know that you could contradict me and say, well, Man United were Man City and, you know, Arsenal and that, but the Premier League seasons back then were a lot closer than they are at the moment. You know, teams are running away with it each season. And City have done that more often than not than anybody else. And that is because of a takeover that happened. You know, there's no other way of sugarcoating it. I'm not bitter about that, by the way. Yep. I think anyone who is bitter towards another club for having a takeover, I think it's ridiculous to be bitter, because if that was your club, you'd welcome it with open arms. So yeah, it's just one of them. I think the FA are afraid of another Man City situation.
I think I have to respectfully disagree with you there. I think a lot of people don't like the clubs being takeover, and sometimes it is. I mean, you know, look at West Ham, for instance. It's crazy, and I know people's going to get on it. You know, they've had a bit of money invested. However, their owners have done it wrong. It doesn't matter how you do it. Throwing money at a situation doesn't work. It matters how you run it, you know, and it takes that whole love affair out of it. I mean, especially with Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle had Freddie Shepherd before your guys' times, and he had to sell the club, basically. He was saying sexist, allegations and stuff. So they've gone from one bad chairman to the next. It's been crazy, I don't know. Guys.
I mean, if somebody came to me and said Arsenal are getting a takeover bid, the Cronkies are going to be bought out, you're going to have £300 million to spend.
But you did, well, again, you just proved a point there, though, Will. Talk about teams being bought over. I think you mean by a successful
that's what I mean. That's
business owner, right? Because he still took a lot of money, Kroenke, at your team. Yeah. But he's just done it wrong.
But then has he? Has he chucked a lot of money at us? Arsenal can only ever spend each season what they earn profit-wise. So, you know, this is true, this. And I'm not lying, you can Google it. Stan Kroenke hasn't put a penny of his own money into Arsenal. He hasn't.
Yes.
He
works basically in a system, doesn't he? Where he's got.
If Arsenal makes £100 million on shirt sales and ticket sales and blah blah blah, that's what they've got to spend. You know, the Kroenkes don't invest. Well, it may look like they've invested by, you know, Aubameyang and players like that, but no, they haven't invested. They've let Arsenal have a bit more of the profit money that they've reined in. So if Arsenal have made 200, the Cronkies have said, right, you can have 150 instead of 130 this season, and still taking 50 million out of the club for their own back pockets.
So on the fact of Newcastle anyway,
because
we're getting distracted. So Newcastle, they'll probably stay up, guys, right? But next season, are they going to survive? Yes or no? Gav, well, we'll start with you, Gav. Can you see them doing the same again, or will they push on, get rid of Bruce? And or do you think they'll keep Bruce? I mean, what do you think, Gav? Or do you think it might
for next season? For me, I think they'll struggle. And I can honestly, the way I'd see it, I'd see Bruce leaving and Howe coming in, Eddie Howe. And you know, I can just see that happening. They've got a couple of Bournemouth players there that Howe used to work with, in Wilson and Wilson and Fraser. I think that's the way I'd do it anyway. You know, if I was looking at it, you know, I don't think they'd do well next season, to be honest with you. I think they've not been amazing. They've not set the Premier light, and I think they've got some really good players in the team. You know, it's just not working at the minute. So, I can see that happening, to be honest with you.
Well, unless they upgrade the manager now, they'll go down.
Next, and why the heck would Eddie Howe want to go to Newcastle? But if you are Newcastle, you definitely want him. But I wouldn't want to touch that job, would
absolutely
you?
Absolutely not. But Eddie Howe is used to working with budgets.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Bournemouth and his transfer policy and the way they sign players. They always sign really good players. And there's a reason they stayed in the Prem for 5 seasons is, you know, the way they work their transfers and who they brought in, the way they played. They did well.
But he had a really good stranglehold of the transfer market, and he could do them dealings in Newcastle.
No, he wouldn't. But
I had a really good relationship with that chairman. But yeah, we'll wrap this up anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
If that's okay, guys, because the next one I want in depth actually would be great. Because what we'll do, guys, is we'll wrap these up. We've got about 12 minutes, guys. We're going to do this in a two-parter. So, Burnley, Sean Dyche.
Great manager for me.
16th. Well, yeah, but the thing is, though, I'll just give you bullet points, and I'd like you to debate this. But Burnley have been a bit of decline recently, and Will was talking previously about them clubs who come up and give it a good go. I hate some yo-yo clubs, and Burnley was a yo-yo club at that time, but he's established them, I think, over for 10 years now, which has been phenomenal. He has done fantastic work. I don't know if that's correct regarding 10 years. I know they went down, but they went back up. But they stayed with their manager, which could happen with Sheffield, and he's made them a really good, hard team to beat. They're so hard to beat. But, I mean, what kind of football and results do you accept if you're a Burnley fan? Would you change it and try to get Eddie Howe, or do you think they're right to keep him? Well, 26 points, by the way. And last season, they finished actually 16th. So like Burnley, it looks like a decline. Oh, sorry, I lied, man. I lied to finish 10th last season.
Burnley, they're so boring. They are so boring. I like Sean Dyche, Chesterfield FC legend. You are, sorry?
As a neutral. It's different, isn't it? Because as a neutral, you'd go... you understand where I'm coming from? We all just said, yeah. Sean Dyche must be mental. Well, if you're watching your team every single week, like I am with Spurs, and you go, oh, he's got you to a final, but yeah, it's just,
I couldn't sit and watch that week in, week out. They are so boring to watch. It is just, you know, I can't think of a Burnley player that gets me excited, if that makes sense. So
McNeil.
You know, for example,
Nick
who, sorry?
McNeil.
That's it.
McNeil. Quite McNeil at the minute, I think, is one of them players. He's just very tricky. You know, if you look at the Liverpool game, he absolutely ruined Alexander-Arnold.
That's not odd, Gav. I mean, I'm not being funny, you know. Flip it, eh?
No, you know, I think Gav McNeil is one of them players. You know, I think, you know, I mean, he'll go, you know, because he's a good player. I think he can play for a better side than Burnley, personally. But yeah, no, I agree. I think they're kind of like what Stoke were under Pulis, where they had some really good seasons. They stayed in the Prem, you know, the football.
Do not swear at me.
Yeah. It wasn't attractive football.
I'd say that. It is getting to that long ball football, though, Will. It is getting to that long ball football. Counter-attacking football.
It's why the phrase, you know, could he do it on a cold, wet Tuesday night in Stoke? You know, it's where it comes from. It's because they were such a hard team to break down. You know, there were such a team. You go to Stoke and you'd be like, you know, how are we going to beat these guys? You know, they're so defensive, they're so on it, and I think that's what Burnley are.
So what's the solution? What's the solution then, Gab? Do you change your manager to get better football, or do you just accept this? Because, like I said, 10th last season, it's going to look 16th. Every time I tune in, they're losing. I think if they stay up, they're going to be 15th or below. It looks like it's a decline every season. The teams are coming up and coming up very strong. It's not like before, you know. I think they will be in a relegation, if not the bottom three next season. What do you do?
If you change the manager, you completely change the team of Burnley. I mean, if you look at the two strikes they've got in Wood and Barnes, they are very much aerial sort of players. They expect the ball coming over and expect them crossing. For me, you know, if you want to play that attractive football, you need quick players in the Premier League, you know. You need your likes of, you know, Ollie Watkins, like, who's come up from the Championship. I think Tony, who's in the Championship top scorer at the minute for Brentford. It's players like that, you quick players, playing to the feet, those three balls through. They're the ones that are going to get onto the end of it. So you need to completely change what Burnley football are about if you get a new manager in, because the way they're set up is for that long ball football. And they've got two very good centre-backs in the team and a very good goalkeeper. That triangle that you've got there at the back is, you know, sort of like a top 10 team sort of triangle in Tarkowski, Vieira and Pope. And
Tarkowski.
I think they're just set up to be a defensive team. If you change that manager, you've got to change a lot of the team around them.
What do you think, Will? Do you think that they should try to reinvent the team once these lot have gone out? Having the old kind of number 10s, you know, up front, your number 9 and number 10s and doing the crosses. I don't think that's sustainable for much longer anymore, do you?
Certainly need an absolute revamp from top to bottom. It's just, I don't know. Like you said with Stoke, I mean, I personally despise Stoke City. Have my reasons. Any Arsenal fan will know why. With Burnley, it's just... it's the same old, same old. And
I think that they're quite happy to continue doing this. You know, I think their board sort of look at this and go, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We're not getting relegated. That's all that matters. And yeah. I don't agree with that personally. You know, I believe teams that should always, you know, they should always be striving to push forward and push through. But again, the lack of funding for Sean Dyche is showing. It is so clear to see, you know, that they are the actual lowest net spenders in the Premier League, and it shows.
Where's all the money going? I don't know where the money is going because they're getting all these millions from TV revenue.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly that, and I don't know. Burnley need a revamp. I think they'll stay up, and I think they'll continue to be this team that finishes in the bottom half of the table but seem to beat the big six every year. I do believe that, you know, Burnley can beat big teams, but they're so poor against the littler teams in the league.
They do that whole stay back. Obviously, we'll wrap this up quickly, this one. But so we're all saying raid the championship and get their best players and revamp, because the way they're going, they're going to end up going to go down anyway in the next couple of seasons, aren't they, if they don't do something. Right, Gav, on to the next one, sir. So they've gone from 10th, obviously, down to 16th, and now we're on Brighton, guys. Oof, Brighton, now this is a difficult team. Now they're 15th. Last season, they finished. Da-da-da-da. Guess where? 15th. However, it's weird because when they sacked, was it Hughton or someone at the time? I can't remember. Everyone thought it was crazy, but then they got Potter in. And I tell you something, Brighton are a weird side. They can play really good football or really bad football. I mean, what do you think, Will?
They played really good football against you the other week. Sorry. Brighton, I like them. I do like Brighton. They beat us last season as well. They beat us this season. Brighton, I like them. I like the stadium. I like the players. I like the manager. I think Graham Potter's a great guy. I think he's a good manager. Brighton, for me, just need to keep doing what they're doing, because I think they are starting to find their flow a little bit better than what I've seen in previous seasons. They're not in such a relegation scrap as they have been previously. They've got some good players under the belt now. I honestly do like them, and I do think that they are going to continue to improve each year. Not massively, but I think they are going to be a Premier League constant for a long time now, because I can see improvement already in the previous seasons. So, yeah, I do hope that they stay up, and I do think they will as well.
Well, here's a weird stat for you, Gav, right? They've had only 5 wins, which we've just talked about. Huge wins, though. Liverpool, you know, a massive team with Tottenham. We'll stop laughing. But in the last 5 games, they're undefeated. Now, they've had only 5 wins, however, they've had, which is the second worst in the league. However, they've had 11 draws, which is the most in the league.
That's less than Arsenal.
They've only had 8 losses. Exactly. Now, with the losses, you know, you're talking about 2 away from Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're a top half side. Yeah, it's just them draws.
They are improving.
Just the draws.
You know, they're not. You know, they've only won 5 games, but they've drawn 11.
That just shows how strong they are at the back. I mean, Gav, do they need to improve their attacking? Is that why they got well back? I mean, do they need to do more? Gav, are you alive, sir?
Oh. Yeah, no problem, mate.
Clearly not. Will, can you help me out?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah, I can hear you then.
I'm afraid so, Gav.
Yeah, for me, they're only winning the games by sort of a goal. You know, you look at their form in the last 5. You know, they've been really well defensively. And I think they were unlucky not to beat Villa last night, to be honest with you. They were all over them. you know, but you know, that's just me. I think more pays a decent striker. Trossard, good little player, McAllister, but you know, I think they could do with another attacking option. Up to those sort of that little five match patch of form that they've had recently. You know, they've not won a game for a very long time since the sort of opening sort of five games of the season, I think it was. I'll have to double check that, but they were on a barren run of form. You know, they had a right winless run of form.
Yeah.
So you know, if they can keep the form up, you know, they'll do all right. But next season, you know, I think they'll struggle next season, to be honest with you.
So what I'm going to do now is we're going to blast through these because we're obviously approaching to the hour mark. So we're just going to blast through these very quickly. Brighton, will they're staying up obviously next season?
Yeah.
Do you believe,
I reckon they will.
Are they going to improve?
I'm against Green, I'll say no. I think they'll struggle next
Same
season.
Question, Gav. Ooh, that is controversial. Always one. So the next ones, if you all don't mind, I'm going to do them together because I don't really see that much difference, which is harsh. And that's Palace and Southampton. Now, Palace finished 14th last season and this season the 14th. And also Southampton, however, finished 11th and they're 13th for this season. I mean, they are where they are. Southampton obviously got battered the other day. But Palace, apart from one or two players, I just think they'll just stay one of these mid-table teams.
I think Palace have got a good
squad, about guys.
I think they need to upgrade the manager. I like Roy Hodgson, but the guy's, he's getting old. It's, you know, his tactics are quite outdated. But Palace do have, you know, some exciting players. They've got Eze, they've got Wilfred Zaha, Ayew, you know. Yeah. I like Palace personally, and I think that they need. I think a manager like Eddie Howe would do well at Palace, to be honest with you. I know we've just sort of touted him for Newcastle, but yeah. I do personally think that Newcastle, Palace need to upgrade the manager. Southampton, they were top at one stage of this season, and I think the issue with Southampton is I like Hasenhüttl. I think he's a good manager, but they just seem to implode. And when their heads drop, they can't pull themselves back from it. So, yeah, I don't see where Southampton go without, you know, bringing in some players and actually keeping them without selling them to other clubs. You know, you could argue that Ward-Prowse is their best midfielder and was. But, you know, in previous season, they've sold Sadio Mane, Virgil van Dijk, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg.
I think he goes up to like nine or ten, doesn't it?
They need to get out of this habit of being a feeder club for the bigger teams if they want to compete, in my opinion, because they do have good players. They've got good recruitment processes at Southampton, but they keep binning off the best players for quick cash, and they just need to stop doing that and hold on to them if they want to really succeed.
Oh, look at Callum Chambers. He was going to be the next big thing as well, weren't
we? We ruined him as we have done with so many other players in the past. But that's another day.
You're right there, mate. It is enough. Right, guys. Are you both going to agree?
Yeah.
I think they'll stay where they are.
I think they could potentially finish top half of the table. But it's that poor run of form again that they find themselves in. They've not won a game. I think for about seven, I believe it is, maybe nine. They just need to stop that rot.
If you take West Ham out of the top, I don't see how they're even going to get
anywhere near the
top.
I think they could creep into the sort of top 10.
Well.
But again, like I say, it's more the fact they need to stop.
Yeah, of course. So we're moving on to Wolves now and Leeds. We'll do Wolves and Leeds together, guys, because it'll be the last bit, and for obviously we're going to part two now. Wolves, guys, wow, what do you say? I mean, did they do too much too quick? Well,
I think Wolves' issue is
Nuno Espirito Santo is a one-trick pony. To be honest with you, I think people, the trick is very good, but I think people have sussed it now. I also do think that losing Raul Jimenez has been a real big blow for Wolves up front. Yeah, you know, they've lost Jota.
Especially with Jota as well.
They've lost Raul Jimenez because he clashed heads with David Luiz. And
David Luiz, by the way, I mean, that's a horrible
goodness. Jimenez a bit worse off, but he's going to be all right from what I've read. And that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Wolves have suffered this season because of player losses. I don't think it's going to be a permanent thing. I think they will bounce back from this when they've got a fully fit squad. As for Leeds, I think Leeds are having a good season.
What do you think of Bamford? Do you think Bamford is a champion? I heard someone say that Bamford's only a championship striker. I think that's so unfair.
I think Bamford's had a lot more to prove than most this season, and I think he's done that very well. He's, you know, Bamford, he came from a private school background. He was always sort of not ridiculed, but overlooked because he had the world at his feet without football. And I think he's worked so hard to brush off that stereotype and become the player that he is today. I think Leeds are doing really well this season, and I think they can only get better if they keep hold of Bielsa. And I think Wolves can also do better this season. Do better than this season. I do believe that next season they may be pushing further up the table, but we'll see.
I mean, Leeds obviously only got promoted this season. The horrible situation that they did get promoted with the COVID, obviously, struggles. Wolves finished in seven last season. Gav, what's your take on this? Wolves, do you think they're underperforming, or do you think they are there where they should be?
I think Will is right in the fact that Wolves are a one-trick pony. I think they get caught out. Adama Traore's not quite hit the heights that he did last season. I think it was quite easy to sort of isolate one player who's a big threat. And then losing Jimenez has been a major blow to them. You know, you lose your top scorer. It's a lot harder to score goals. So, a bit of a Michael Owen quote for you there. I think their season will teeter right now. I think they've got some really good players. I do really like Ruben Neves. I think defensively they need to be a little bit better. But, you know, as soon as you get Jimenez back next season, as long as he's fully fit and he comes back to his best, they'll do all right. They've got some decent young players there. In regards to Leeds, I think they've kind of got everything you need to succeed as a Premier League side. You know, I think they've got a really, really good squad. Look at Bamford. I think he's in for a shout for the Euros. Realistically, I think he's been really good as sort of a number nine. Knows where to be at the right time. You look at the right. I think if Leeds can keep Rafinha, you know, what a player. You know, he's got everything that you need. You know, that pace, speed, skill. Very good technically. No, I think it'd be a massive, massive for Liverpool if he does, because he, for me, is such a game-changing player. When you have those players that, you know, this one moment in a game and, you know, that one player can change it and flip the game on the head, he's one of those players.
Sorry, Arsenal, not Liverpool. I do apologise. Would you like Rafinha?
Yeah, I think anyone would.
Arsenal, well.
He's a good player. He didn't do much today because obviously Leeds lost 4-2 to the mighty Arsenal. I'd take him. I'd take him. Of course, he,
he's dynamic. He's a breath of fresh air to Leeds. Great fan. I know they paid some good money for him, but yeah, if things were Leeds, if they can keep hold of these players, they're going to have no issues. At the moment, he's just teething into the Premier League, and you know, you got to remember that this primarily is a Championship squad who most of them have only ever really played in the Championship. So to see them doing as well as they are at the moment, they can only get better.
Right, so Will, I've got a question for you then. So,
yeah,
as a sort of Arsenal fan, obviously, I just said, you know, you'd yeah. see them sign Rafinha. Where would yeah. that leave your likes of Pepe then? Obviously, Saka's got to start that left mid spot. I know Emil yeah. Rowe played on the right today. So, who'd you take out yeah. then? Do you leave out Pepe and Emil Smith Rowe and have Rafinha there?
I don't think Pepe's done enough to warrant his firm starting place at the moment. He's been great recently. He is coming in and doing more than what he's done since we first signed him. But the $72 million price tag every time I watch him play sort of hinders over, and I'm thinking it's not his fault. You know, he didn't ask to get paid. You know, he didn't ask for Arsenal to pay that much money for him. But I would probably, it's good competition for him. At the moment, Pepe knows that there aren't many players. I mean, if you think of that right wing spot, Smith Rowe is predominantly a number 10. But for that right wing spot, there's only really Willian and Reece Nelson who can do that job other than him. And Pepe is leaps and bounds above them. So maybe if we binned off either Nelson or Willian, you know, and if we signed Rafinha, it'll never happen. But if we did, I think it'd be great competition for Pepe and it could spur him on.
Hi, guys. It's Will from TN Bull. And before we start this podcast, I just want to make a massive shout out to BK Accountants. They're an easy way to complete your tax returns. So let me explain. Okay, they offer accountancy services suitable for absolutely everybody. They're a proactive and friendly service. They're open 24/7. And most importantly, they guarantee to be 25% cheaper than your current accountant or anybody else who is doing your accounts. Don't take mine and Jay's word for it, however. You can find them at www.bkaccountants.org.uk, or if you want to send an inquiry off, you can email accounts@bkaccountants.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and let's get into the podcast.
Yeah, as I was saying, guys, thank you very much for obviously joining me today. Any final words there for you, Will? What do you think so far then regarding the season? Any surprises there at the bottom?
I don't think there's any surprises per se. I think the only surprise, the biggest surprise for me is West Ham and how brilliant they've been. I know they're in the top half, but I think at the bottom half, it's quite a surprise that they're not there. But yeah, I think from 10 below, they're going to kind of stay where they are. I can't see them making much ground upwards or even further down. And that does include Arsenal, in my opinion. But yeah, it's been a great season so far. It's been strange, but I have enjoyed it. And I can't wait to see how it plays out over the next few weeks.
And no shock with Sheffield?
I think I am going to go against what both of you believe. I think they could stay up.
Crazy. Gav, any shock for you in the bottom?
No, not at all. I think I think that's going to be it. Like Willis just said, I think the only one for me is Southampton potentially, you know, sort of flying into the top 10 maybe come the end of the season. I think that's kind of the only team I can see breaking the mould a little bit. Just because of the quality that they've got. Leeds 11th, aren't they? Yeah, potentially Leeds. Again, really good side. I think for Leeds, though, they need to stop leaking goals. I do understand why they're doing that, because they're trying to be that attacking threat. But with that, they do leave themselves open to a counter-attack. And They themselves far too open at the back. A very exciting side, and I think they're a breath of fresh air to the Premier League. But no, until they fix the goals, you know, attacking doesn't get you 3 points. It's unfortunately not conceding and scoring that does. So they'll struggle to get 3 points if they keep on leaking goals like they do.
Yeah, 100% agree with you, my friend. I really do. So we will be doing, guys, part one. The top half, sorry, not part one. We've just done that. I loved it so much. I'm doing it twice, as she said. So hopefully we will get this done tomorrow. But in regard of that, I am so grateful for the support. I'm sure, obviously, my co-hosts as well. We'll do, obviously, anything we can to further our product knowledge for you guys. So if you want us to do any other kind of videos, more than welcome. Just a message below or comment to me directly on the TNM Bull page that we've got on the Facebook page, YouTube. Like I said before, yeah, we're on so many different platforms now. So, you know, Google Podcast, loads of platforms. We're very, very grateful for your support. I'm beyond grateful. Any parting words there, Will?
Yeah. Again, we're going on YouTube tomorrow. It's massive. We're trying to take this to new heights. So please do, you know, chirp in with your comments. Ask us anything you want. If you want us to cover a specific subject, we'll go for it. We are not scared of any subject. We are not scared of any topic. And thank you again to our wonderful sponsors. As well as everybody who listens in to us. Like we said, we want to take this podcast to new heights and be the go-to podcast when you're opening up Spotify or however you listen to your podcast. You know, we want to be the ones that, you know, you see our content released and think, yeah, we'll have a bit of that. So thank you ever so much for supporting us. And your support means that we can keep putting out new content as well as new topics. So, yeah, thank you ever so much.
Also, just a quick... just a quick mention as well. Someone did mention to me that we do need a sign off, so yeah. We'll be thinking of one. You know, Brucey's got loads. We'll think of something, guys. any parting words there, Gav?
No. That's it, gents. It's been a pleasure once again. I look forward to part two, and we'll kick on more about the season. I think it's fantastic what the pod's doing, to be fair, and you know, it's great to see a bit of growth. In terms of the YouTube channel, so that'd be great. I can't wait to watch and be part of that. And we'll see you all again soon, guys.
Yeah, it'll be TN Bull podcast, obviously, guys. Thank you for joining us again, Gav. Me, we're more than grateful for having you come and join us. But guys, take care. Remember, stay safe, and we're so close to being out of lockdown. Let's just all remember to be smart, vigilant, and yeah, just take care.
Hands, face, guys.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too, guys. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.